Well, good morning, saints.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see, I think, everybody's here. Isn't that amazing? Usually people are sick or something happens where people are here, so looks like most of everybody's families are here, and that's magnificent. And the day of the Super Bowl. That's even more amazing. Sovereignty at work, right? Right, right. Or if I continue preaching, right? The diehard thing. I hear the game going in the back room. My wife's leading him. Honey, what are you doing? Well, I'm so honored to stand here before you. And as a pastor teacher and one of the elders at Free Grace Bible Chapel, let me tell you our goal, all right? Let's think about this this morning. Get all of our thoughts together. Why are you alive right now? Think about this. Get our minds on this, the why. Why do you exist? Let's really think about this. Why do you breathe right now? Why do you have eyes? Why are you able to look at me? Why are you able to hear anything? Why are you able to walk in this room and have hands, eat? Why? May I tell you why? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 is that it gives you four whys. Ready to say it with me. How many whys? Four whys. The whys. If we're not focused on this, can I tell you something? You're really out of it. I'm out of it. You're out of it. We're carnal. Carnal Christians. Out of fellowship. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, 10. That you in Paul's prayer, of fourfold points in this, where he's praying for the church at Colossae, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Please say that with me. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. That's one of the first reasons that you exist. Amen? That you might walk. Walk is the Greek word peripateo. It means to order your life in harmony with Scripture. Have Scripture be the authority of your mind alone. No rationalism or empiricism. No observation. Nothing coming into our senses. And we're learning that revelation is not discovered. Please say I heard that. Did you hear that? It's not discovered through your senses or your reasoning. Revelation is not. Knowledge is not. Truth is not discovered. Truth is, I'm going to hold it in my hand. Truth is revealed. Please say it with me. Truth is what? Revealed. It's a revelation. It's a sovereign, he said, grace revelation. It's a gift from God. It's God's gift to us. That we might walk worthy of the Lord. Do what? Say it with me. We might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. So what are you to do today? Please Him. Who agrees? Now these are commands. Truth is authoritative. By being authoritative, it demands a response. What's the response, first of all? Belief. Believe it. Then be obedient to it. Walk in harmony with it. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, second thing, being fruitful in every good work, being fruitful. Say it with me. That you might, come on, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and please don't miss this last one. Now, these are not hints from the Holy Spirit. These are not suggestions. When you get around to it, when you feel like it, these are all in the imperative mood. This is something that are commands from God Almighty, from His throne room. We are to be obedient to these things. The last one, ready? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, that's my goal today, is to focus all of your minds on these things. That you what? Might walk what? Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're not increasing the knowledge, if I'm not increasing the knowledge of God, I have nothing to say. I'm carnal. I'm out of it. I'm self-centered, self-occupied, self-serving. Who agrees? It's all about me, and I'm serving me. Only by the Holy Spirit bringing me under the authority of Scripture am I going to fulfill these things. Let's think about the last one for a second, okay? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Why have we gone astray in most of the churches in this land, America? Why are we being so disciplined in this country? Jeremiah 23 talks about, woe the shepherds who scatter and destroy my sheep, who do not feed my sheep. Ezekiel talks about the same thing, Ezekiel 34. He talks about, there are shepherds, you have shepherds, but the shepherds feed themselves. Right? This one friend of mine that cuts my hair, he said that Joel Osteen's people started calling him and said, but Joel Osteen needs your help. The friend came back to me and he says, what, is Ferrari payment or something? Sure. They feed themselves. You hear what I said? They feed what? They feed themselves. There are pastors out there that are bad pastors. Who agrees? Terrible pastors. And you're not going to learn. The Bible talks about false shepherds and true shepherds. Who agrees? So just because the person has a degree in theology or is a pastor or elder of a church doesn't mean that he is a good, godly servant of the Lord, and his mind is of the authority of Scripture alone, and his message represents historical biblical Christianity, and that you're going to increase in the knowledge of God. There are churches that people tell me that they're going to, I said, don't go there. Don't go there. And you need to ask people to have some discernment and wisdom. Where should I go to church? Who agrees? That's false teaching. You're not going to learn about what? God. You're not going to increase in your knowledge of God. So to increase in your knowledge of God, what do we need? Scriptures. Who agrees? What does the Bible say about God? The first doctrine you must get straight on, what is it? What's the very first thing you must get straight on? Before you get into theology proper or the doctrine of God, what's the very first one? The Scripture. Bibliology. The study of Scripture. The inerrancy of Scripture. The infallibility of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. The necessity of Scripture. The finality of Scripture. You need to go through the doctrine of bibliology to understand. You understand this is the Bible alone is my only source for faith and practice. Amen? But once you get that down, where do you go next? The doctrine of God. Satan is he's brilliant. Who agrees with that? Master. Brilliant. None of us can match wits with him. Brilliant. Have you ever seen any grandmaster chess players? You ever watch them play chess with 30 or so people at a time? I have the privilege of doing that. It's really something to see. He stands in a circle, and the tables are all around him. He goes, this person, and he plays a couple of moves, this person a couple of moves, the next person a couple of moves, and he goes, checkmate, 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 checkmate. And checkmates all of them just in a matter of minutes. You think, wow, he thinks the head's about like this. In your mind, you see them all like this, scratching their head going, how did he do that? He is really good. Satan is brilliant. A master. And guess what he knows? He knows things that we don't know unless we get in the Scripture. And Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, we are if we're not in Scripture. What's one of the things that Satan, what's his main thing that he wants to do? He wants you, don't miss this, not to trust God. Who agrees? Doesn't want you to trust him. So what will he attack? He's going to attack the Word of God to get you to doubt the Word of God so you don't trust the Word of God and you go somewhere else for your authority. Your mind, don't miss this phrase, must submit to some authority. Everyone's mind is under some authority, whether you know it or not. There's no such thing as neutrality. Someone says to you, well, I'm an agnostic, I don't know what you're, I believe. No, you're right away, you're an unbeliever. There's no neutrality. Who heard that? Yep. No such thing as neutrality. You believe or you don't believe. But people say with free will, I just don't know where I stand on that, or sovereignists, I don't know where I stand on that. I'm just neutral. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. It's not logically possible. It's either affirmo, Latin affirmo, I affirm, or nego, I deny. It's either or. It's called the disjunctive syllogism. It's the law of logic, the excluded middle. There is no semi-believing, semi-unbelieving. You either a believer or an unbeliever. Amen? Where am I going with all this? Satan has it out for all of you in this room. Every Christian, his goal is to deceive you. Who agrees with that? That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. His goal is to deceive your mind. Who in here wants to be deceived? Please raise your hand. No hands. Oh, well, you're paying attention. Some people don't listen to raise your hands. Well, you weren't listening. Raise your hand if you want discernment. Come on, raise your hand. Who wants discernment? Discernment. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 5:14 says that as we come out of the Word, the goal is to develop the discernment so that we know good and evil. We know both good and evil. A lot of people listening to this sermon, they can't say that's a good sermon or a bad sermon because they have no discernment. They'll go into their opinion. They'll think, I don't like what that's. I don't like what he said. I don't like what Jack says at all. On this stuff about free will, he's teaching against free will. And the title of this whole sermon, Fulfill Prophecy, the Death Blow to Free Will. Fulfill Prophecy, the Death Blow to Free Will. Where's this guy coming from? I don't agree with this. I don't agree with it. Watch this. That's an assertion. You're asserting something. But it's not an argument. Please say it with me. That's an assertion. You're asserting. You're stating something. I don't agree. You're declaring it. You're coming out with your opinion. But that's not an argument. You agree. Argument. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, he says, casting down, it's a command, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a command for all of us. And you'll be held responsible before the judgment seat of Christ. Why did you not obey this? You'll look at Christ in the eyes, and this will be brought up. Be you and Him, that's it, as individuals. How will you answer this? Listen closely. Let's say this again. Casting down arguments, free will, middle knowledge, open theology, process theology, all this Arminianism, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself, human viewpoint. Please say it with me. Human viewpoint. Luciferian viewpoint. Casting down arguments. Well thought out strategies. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Say it with me. Thought. I used to say that verse wrong. What do you mean? I used to think, because I didn't look in the Greek, I used to think the word thought just means your individual thoughts, your ideas, your thinking. It doesn't mean that. You know what it means, the word thought? Philosophy. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every philosophy that's against the knowledge of God. There's a lot of philosophies that are out there that's against the knowledge of God. Two things that Satan wants to do. He wants you, number one, not to trust God. Two things I want to focus on, two attributes of God. Not to trust God and not to depend upon God. Amen? Not to trust His Word or have a moment-by-moment dependence upon Him. I'm using trust in a little different sense and dependence. Trust when His omniscience His omniscience means his what? Knowledge. Omni means what? All. Science, knowledge. So his all knowing, he's all knowing. When he gives you a prophecy in Genesis 3:15, that's the very first prophecy in the Bible. Please write that down in your notes. What's the very first prophecy in the Bible? What's the very first one? Genesis 3:15. What's it say? It's the very first prophecy. The Bible is a prophetic book. Only God can do what? Utter prophecy. No one else can. Why? Because he has all knowledge. He has not learned it. He doesn't learn it from his creation. He doesn't look in the future and see what's going to happen. He knows. He knows. It's eternal certitude. He has knowledge. Didn't think it up. Didn't acquire it. It's intuitive, not discursive. Discursive means major premise, minor premise, conclusion. There's a sequence of thoughts. There's reasoning. Then you come to a conclusion. There's none of that in God's mind. He has the idea of sequence of thoughts, but his mind is not, doesn't think in sequence. He has always thought all of his thoughts for all of eternity. And he's thinking all his thoughts right now because he's always all-knowing. He did not think you up. You've always been there. So omniscience means, say it with me, what does omniscience mean? All-knowing. Let's say it again. What is omniscience? All-knowing. Omni means what? All. Science means what? Knowledge. Omnipotence means what? All powerful. Omni, all. Potent, powerful, all powerful. Omnipresent means what? Omni is all present. Present here, so he's what? Present everywhere at once. So, two doctrines of God I want to talk about. Omniscience, say it with me. Omniscience and sovereignty. Two things. Among many other things, but I want to focus on those two things because it's germane to my topic about free will and fulfilled prophecy, the death blow to free will. Two things that I want to show you how Satan hates it and why he hates it and doesn't want you to believe. This is a message that Satan doesn't want you to get at all. He hates this message. This is not taught in your Bible colleges. You now get this in most of your seminaries. You graduate with your PhD. Doctorate in theology, and you won't get this stuff. The guys out there, a lot of you, if I said their names, you would think, oh, this person understands this. No, they don't. They do not understand these things. Their minds, they say, mystery. We don't get it. We don't understand this at all. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean other people haven't, God hasn't revealed this or illuminated their minds on these truths. Do you agree? This one brother told me, he says, I've been studying about free will and sovereignty, so I understand it all. He said, it just can't be understood. And he's going on telling me all that. I was going, well, my teacher understood it. And he wrote books on it. He talked to me, I understand. It's not. I'm not confused on it, of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. God's not confused. Who agrees? So two doctrines. Let's talk about these two doctrines. What are they? Say it with me. Omniscience. Come on. Omniscience. And what? Sovereignty. Sovereignty. Sovereignty is God ordains all things, both good and evil. There's nothing that happens that God has not already predetermined, and it's eternally fixed. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. It's inevitable. It is He's the cause of all of it. There's no contingency in His mind, no thinking of possibilities. It's eternal in His mind, and He is King, ordainer, first cause, decreer of everything. He's the ultimate cause behind all good and all evil, everything. Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him, say it with me, are what? All things. Say it with me again. Romans what? 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are what? All things. Now, two doctrines. Say it with me again. What are they? Omniscience, which means what? All-knowing. And sovereignty means what? He has decreed everything, right? ordained it all. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, those are two of my premises, okay? Say, what are they? My premises, right? Two of my premises, and these are biblical premises. What I'm saying cannot be refuted. Who heard that? Cannot be refuted. Cannot be. This is the only intellectually defensible system of thought on the planet dealing with these two attributes, omniscience and sovereignty. It cannot be refuted. This is what the Bible says, consistently says, inerrantly, infallibly, from Genesis to Revelation, that God is all-knowing, amen, and God is all-sovereign. Now, what is Satan's, I brought in Satan a while ago. Who remembers? What did I say? Satan wants to do what? Say it with me. Deceive you. He wants to deceive you on what? He wants to get you off on doctrine. Let's say that you go into school and you're saying, we believe the Scriptures, this is God's Word, and it's inerrant, it's infallible, and it's self-sufficient, self-authenticating. And you believe all that. So, I got that down. Then once he said, got that down, what's he going to do? He's going to attack your understanding of God. What do you do with Eve? He went to Eve, Genesis 3, and what did he peddle? He peddled, ready? The doctrine, counter-doctrines to what I just told you. Counter-doctrines to God's sovereignty, counter-doctrines to God's omniscience. He came in with a counter-theology. He told her, he said, has God said that when you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil that you will surely die? He just introduced doubt. Say it with me. What is it? Doubt. That's his major tactic. He doesn't come right out, first of all, say God's a liar because you back away, scatters the flock. The flock goes away. He just says, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, have you thought about this? That's just, does that make sense to you? A Jonah and this big fish? Does that make sense? It's wild stuff. Jesus said, go down to the sea there and pick the fish and there's a coin in it. Isn't this kind of a myth? I mean, it's that literal. What do you think? This sounds like myth to me. He's introducing what? Say it. Doubt. Now watch. What do you want Eve to do? He wanted Eve not to trust in the Word of God. Amen? Not to believe God. What happened? She doubted. She went into unbelief. And he told her, Satan told her, that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, guess what's going to happen? You are going to know good and evil like God does, and you will be like God. What do you peddle? Your own godhood. Another word, guess what it's called? Ready? Ready for the word? Independence. Say it with me. Independence. Say this other word with me. Say autonomy. Autonomy. Two words I want to drill in your mind right now. Ready? Say it with me. Independence and what? Autonomy. What does autonomy mean? Ready? Two comes from two words. Auto is self. Okay? Like autocratic. Crat rule. An autocrat is self-ruling. Autonomous. The namas here at the end of it is it's self-rule. It's self-law. I am a law unto my own self. I govern me. I have no one that's over me. No one causes me to think, to will, to choose. I am truly independent. My will, my emotions, everything about me is independent. If I come to a crossroads, if I come to a crossroads to go right or go left, I walk up to that point and I have free will. I choose which way I'm going to go. Independent of God. What does Satan say to her? You will be like God. You'll be independent, autonomous. In other words, God will have some competition now, and He doesn't really want this. If you eat this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be free. What's this? Free? Free from whom? Free from God. That's the purpose of it. To come out from under the authority of God. Does this make sense? Free from Him, His sovereignty, His will over you. But it's impossible because you are a derivative being. Everything about you is you don't have life in and of yourself. There's only one being that has life in and of Himself. That's the living God. The triune, infinite, personal God. He has life in and of Himself. He has self-existence. You don't have self-existence. If you're here, you exist because God created you. He brought you into existence, and He's sustaining your existence. That makes sense. You have no life in and of yourself. Watch this. Look, is everybody concentrating? Watch. You're walking, and you come up to the fork. Guess what? You have no idea if you're going to go right or left. Guess what process theology says? Guess what open theology says this. God doesn't know which way you're going to go. You know why? He gave you free, independent, autonomous, self-rule, self-law. I, only you, when you make the, you don't even know which way you're going to go until you say, here, I go right. I didn't even know. Woohoo, I'm free. Nothing was over me. Nothing caused that. Nothing operating on me to cause my decision. I'm free. I did it by myself. Free, free, free. Guess what Gordon Clark says? I love this. In order to state that nothing superimposed your will. Nothing acted upon your will. Nothing did. Not even God acted upon your will. Guess what he said? In order to state that, you must be God. You must be all-knowing. You must have all knowledge to say that nothing acted upon my will. Does that make sense? The only one that's free with their choices is God. Because he's what? He's the only one that's truly independent. He's autonomous. He has a what? Free will, right? He's the only one that could have it because he is the creator. Now, why did Satan want to go this route? He wanted her to become her own God, and he wanted to get her into what doctrine? Say it with me. Free will. Say it with me. What is it? Free will. That was his goal. What do you have in theology? Everything boils down to what? Ready? Two words. Determinism. Please say it with me. Determinism. That God is the one who determines everything. Everything is predetermined. Or, ready? Indeterminism. Please say it with me. Indeterminism. No one knows. Because man has what? God doesn't know. Man doesn't know. Satan, using the Catholic Church with these Jesuits, the Jesuits, guess what they did? In 1545, with the Council of Trent, after the Reformation, you have the Reformation with Luther, you have Calvin coming on after that, strong reformers, strong Reformation, Scripture alone. Then Luther with his wonderful, wonderful, his magnum opus, The Bondage of the Will, spread that throughout Europe, throughout tons of the countries. Man doesn't have free will. No such thing. And he logically went through the Scriptures and showed it. That's one of the greatest books you'll read in your life, is A Death Blow to Free Will. What happened after that? The Catholics, the Pope, told certain people, who were they, ready? Jesuits, say it with me. Jesuits. We can't have this stuff of this Reformation with the bondage of the will, with Luther stuff, people picking up on this, and it's, you know, it's really hurting our cause. It's really hurting this whole thing we teach on free will. Because the Catholic Church is what? Say it. Free will. It's all about free will. It is Arminian, semi-Pelagian, it is free will. So what did the Pope say? Let's get our Jesuits together, go study. Go study everything about what they teach about the sovereignty of God. And come up with, ready? The Counter-Reformation. The Catholic Reformation. And guess what? Protestants today bear the appellation, the name, the title of Protestant, but they're not Protestant at all. They're just as Catholic as the Catholics. They have not worked out their theology. They're not honest. They're not epistemologically self-conscious. Please say it with me. They're not what? Epistemologically self-conscious. Epistemology means the theory of knowledge. They have not worked out their premises. They have not taken their premises, their arguments, and logically worked it out, because when you logically work it out, don't miss this, ready? You cannot have free will and sovereignty. Cannot coexist. Cannot. They are, say it with me, contradictories. What are they? Contradictories. They're mutually exclusive. When you, if you say you have free will and God's sovereignty, what you're saying is you have two gods. You have two independent beings. You know what that means? That means that is a blasphemous, blatant attack upon the character of God. It's out and out blasphemy to say that you believe in free will. Watch this. For creation, if you have two beings that have independent will, watch this. You don't have a creation. What? Where's he going? Who's with me? You with me? Okay. Stay awake, watch. You cannot have a creation. You cannot. If you have independent wills, you cannot have it. If you have this independent being over here, here you create, then the independent being is deciding, well, I don't like that tree. I don't like this. I just don't know about that. You have conflicting wills right with creation. If there's an independent will at the very beginning, God has to be thinking about that independent will with reference to how he's going to create. He's not free to create if there's an independent will out there. What's the title of the sermon? Say it with me. Fulfilled Prophecy, what? The Death Blow to Free Will. Let's look at omniscience. Ready? Omniscience. Omniscience is what? Say it. All knowing. God is all knowing. The Lord, as we start in Genesis 3:15, as I said earlier, as the first prophecy, the prophecy was what? That the seed of the woman, what's going to happen? The seed of the woman, which is Christ, he's going to do what? Christ is going to, watch this, crush the head of whom? Satan. That Christ, Genesis 3:15, capital S, seed, through all the scriptures, the capital S is a reference to Christ. He's going to crush the head of Satan. But Satan will do what? Bruise the heel of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a reference to what? The cross work of Christ. That is a prophecy dealing with the future, thousands of years in the future, that Christ will go on the cross and pay for his people's sins. That's the very first prophecy. Now, can I ask you a question? How did God know about that? How do you know? What did you say, Tom? God ordained it. Good. Someone else. How do you know? John, how do you know?
It's an eternal decree.
It's an eternal decree. It's an eternal decree. Never started, right? Pardon?
He's always done it.
Always been in his mind. It's eternal. The blood of the everlasting covenant. Ephesians 3:11, which you brought up the other day there, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. What is it? Ephesians 3:11, according to his what? Eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Never began, never thought up. This comes from what? the cross work of Christ comes from the nature of God. It's not based on man. His sin has nothing to do with the creature. Who heard that? The cause alone is in God. Please say it with me. Where's the cause? In God alone. No reference to man. It has nothing to do with man whatsoever. Prophecy. If man has free will, God, it takes one prophecy and brings into it doubt. How can God bring it about if man has free will? Can't do it. Judas is going to betray Christ. I mean, it's Acts chapter 1. It talks about the fulfillment of Judas betraying Christ. Let me ask you, ready? The other people that are our enemies, so please don't miss it, they're enemies. They are the enemies of the blasphemers to the nature of God with reference to His omniscience and His sovereignty. Guess what they say? God looked down the corridors of time. He saw what Judas would do. He responds, reacts. His reference point is the actions, the will of the creature, and then he just sees in advance and then writes it down that Judas is going to do this. Now, that's either true or not true. Who agrees? My whole schooling of the Baptist Bible College school that I went to, the whole schooling was what? God looks down the corridors of time. He sees that you are going to choose Him, and then He recognizes your choice of you choosing Him based on that alone. Then He writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life because you had enough sense to choose God. Now, that's either true or not true. Who agrees? That's blasphemy. That's an attack on the sovereignty of God and the omniscience of God. So what do the Catholics do? They develop this whole theology. They said, you know what? Here is, at that time, there were two teachings on knowledge. This is all in your notes. Watch this. The two teachings, you have God's natural knowledge. Please say it with me. God's what? Natural knowledge. Then you have God's free knowledge. Please say it with me. We have what? God's what? Natural knowledge and God's free knowledge. God's natural knowledge is His necessary knowledge. His knowledge of all possibilities that He could do based on Him, His nature, His omnipotence, based on His being. You have His necessary knowledge. All the things that are there, everything that's in His mind, that's His natural knowledge. Then you have His free knowledge. His free knowledge, I'm going to create freely, independently. I'm going to freely create all this that I have in my mind, my natural knowledge. I'm going to take certain of these propositions, these ideas, and I'm going to create for the Father's glory. The Catholics said, you know what? There's His natural knowledge and His free knowledge. Figure it out. We'll come in with middle knowledge. What's it called? Say it with me. Middle knowledge. Guess what middle knowledge is? Middle knowledge is this. Ready? Sing with me. Natural knowledge. Come on. What is it? Natural knowledge and free knowledge. Natural knowledge, all the things of necessity in His mind, possibilities, and then free. He's free to create the things He has in mind. He's free to do whatever He wants to do. There's no obligation to do it, under no necessity, outside of Himself, nothing independent, that He's just going to now, I got this knowledge in my mind, and I'm going to create based on this, freely create. Catholics say what? What they say? Come on. Middle knowledge. What's the purpose of middle knowledge? To blend omniscience with free will. It's to blend the two. They're called compatibilists. Say it with me. Compatibilist. Say it again. What are they? Compatible. Let's make them compatible. What does Satan know when he makes it compatible? When you take the two together, guess what you do? When you take two doctrines like this, free will, logically, and the sovereignty of God, once you affirm both in logic, you have just denied both in logic. It cancels out both of them. Once you affirm two contraries, two things that are contradictory, you automatically negate both of them. Now watch this. Look. Middle knowledge is this. Here's what middle knowledge is. Middle knowledge is, here's what you say with me, natural, come on, natural knowledge. Then you have what? Free knowledge. Before you get to free knowledge, the actual creation, you have this pre-volitional knowledge. Pre-decision how I'm going to create. Since I've made all these creatures, billions and billions of these creatures with free will, I've got my middle knowledge. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to run all of the counterfactuals. Please say it with me. Counterfactuals. What's a counterfactual? Let me show you what a counterfactual is. Ready? They introduced counterfactuals. They said, well, God knows the counterfactuals. Here are the counterfactuals. Counterfactual is this. It means counterfact. Say it with me. What is it? Counterfact. A counterfactual is a what? Counterfact. For example, Judas, God knows, based on this theory, the Bible doesn't teach this, based on this theory, God knows that Judas, in this possible world, in this world, among many, many other worlds, among other worlds, tons of worlds, all possibilities, all of them, because he's got this giant computer, all these possibilities, he knows in this world, Judas will betray Christ. But he also knows, because the creature has free, independent, autonomous will, within the creature there is a counterfact. Say it with me, a what? Counterfact. What's the counterfact? In another world, he would what? Not betray Christ. He would never betray Christ. He would believe him and be just like Peter, and just, I'll go on the cross and just crucify me upside down, not worthy to be crucified like my Savior, and I'll be a believing, not a Christ-rejecting disciple. So there is this thing with me. Counterfact. And they are called what? Counterfactual. Just say it again. Okay, come on, here we go. What are counterfacts called? Counterfactuals, right? Now, I know this is a class. You've got to stay with the thoughts, stay with my thoughts. But you need doctrine. Who agrees? Come on. This is a doctrine church. Dr. Machen, back in the 20s, he wrote a book called What is Faith? He went into a pastor. This is a little aside for it. He went into a pastor, and he asked the pastor. The pastor said, would you teach my Sunday school class for me? And Dr. Machen said, I'd love to teach your Sunday school class. And Dr. Machen said, what do you normally teach in your class? He says, we teach a lot of applications. How practical Christianity. He says, okay. He says, I'd like to teach it. He said, I'm going to teach them doctrine. What? I'm going to teach them. Say it with me. Come on. Doctrine. What are we into today? Say it with me. Doctrine. No applications. Not saying we don't believe in applications. We do, but guess what Mason said? Very wise. Don't miss this thing. Ready? It's one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard in my life. I'll throw you a nugget, and the wise student will write this down. Ready? Watch what he said. Mason said this. Today, we're teaching the applications of Christianity without teaching the Christianity which is to be applied. Listen one more time. Ready? Today, we're teaching the what? Applications of Christianity without teaching the Christianity which is to be applied. We're jumping into applications and we know nothing about Christianity. Let me say it one more time. Today, we're teaching what? The applications of Christianity without teaching the Christianity which is to be applied. In Ephesians, what do you have in Ephesians? Ready? Six chapters. The first three chapters are what? Say it with me. Doctrine. Come on, what are they? Come on. Doctrine. What's 4, 5, and 6? What's 4 start off? Now, therefore, walk worthy of what? All the doctrine you've learned. Paul does not start any of his letters and just say, hey, go start knocking on doors. Tell people about Jesus. I love Jesus. Get out and witness. Come on, witness. Get busy. Woohoo! Love Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who's God? What's all this about? What's Paul lay down? Say it. Doctrine. See, even when I tell you today, I look at your faces, and a lot of you just look like you're totally confused. I teach you in hearing this. You know why the people respond like this? No one's taught. Minds confused. Zay is saying Tennessee, bumfuzzled. Just totally confused. Little bitty baby minds. Been in churches 20, 30 years. Pastors, baby minds. Elder for 30 years, baby minds. What did David say in Psalm 119? He said, I have more understanding than my teachers. Because what do you have in his mind? Say it. Doctrine. What do we need today? Please say it with me. Doctrine. Lay down the doctrines. Lay them down. Teach the doctrines. We don't have it. Why don't we get exercised over this? Because someone should. Amen? To honor God. If you're just teaching applications without following His system, are you teaching Ephesians 1, 2, and 3? Then we get into 4, 5, and 6. Or you start off in Romans 12? Therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's Romans 12. Did you read first chapters 1 through 11 first to understand why you're supposed to do the therefore, wherefore? So this is a what message? Say it with me. A doctrine message. This is about doctrine. Now let's go back to the point. Ready? You really need to understand that all this Jesuit teaching that's out there in the Arminian camps, your Baptist, so many of your Methodists are just on and on and on your denominations. They don't teach any of this. People sing songs. Oh, how we love Jesus. They know nothing about the one they're talking about. And the God they worship, especially with reference to sovereignty, does not exist. Who heard that? He does not exist. It is doctrines of devils. Just from the imagination of Satan. Purposely constructed to shut the mind down. To introduce doubt, unbelief in the mind. Then the unbelief takes root. It begins to replicate itself. Shut the mind down in darkness. For the purpose that you cannot discern the truth, receive the truth, learn the truth, know the truth. And then you become a rebel. An enemy of the truth, and you start worshiping Satan. Satan's goal is for you to worship him. And there are Christians that are actually under bondage, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, under the bondage of Satan to worship Satan because they're worshiping a God that does not exist. Now, watch middle knowledge. Middle knowledge, ready? The Jesuits said, the Arminians, the Catholics, there's a middle knowledge. Before God gets to his, say with me, free, come on. Free knowledge. What's his? So what's the first one? Natural knowledge. Before he gets to his what? Knowledge. Free knowledge. Before he ever creates, what's he do? He says, Judas, since he's got free will, since they all have free will, I got to run the possibilities. I got to run them all. All the counterfactuals. He can choose me, not you. This possible world, I don't want that many to go to hell. I'm just trying to get as many not to go to hell. People get as much as I can to get into heaven, but they got free will. Run those possibilities. Once I got all the possibilities the way I want it to go, working around their free will, and I got it all just this okay. Now, based on them, I'm going to create. Before it gets to his free knowledge, the creature. The creature, Satan worshiping, God hating, sin loving, depraved, heart of stone, the creature tells God how to make his world. Can you please all join me and say, not scream, but just say with me, blasphemy. Come on. Blasphemy. What I'm saying is either biblical or it's not biblical. Who agrees? You cannot, God, you cannot trust Him. Omniscience says what? I know. We don't even know what knowledge is. I know. It's known. Today, Debbie and I went to the Keys. I said, I'm going to take you on a date. Come on, woman. I'm going to take you on a date. We're going down to the Keys. We went to the Keys, had a wonderful time, ate there. Had a wonderful time in the Keys. It was a 24-hour date, right? Spent the night down there, watch. Could I have chosen not to have been here today? This moment right now, was this moment predetermined? Come on. How was it determined? By God looking at the car at the time, seeing what I would do, and then He's just permitting it? Who's superintendent? Who's causing? Is it determined or is it indeterminate? Come on, say it. Is it determined?
Yes.
Or is there indeterminism? It's fixed. Watch this. If He knows it, I cannot do anything else but that. Who agrees? Hitler? Did God know that Hitler would kill 6 million Jews? Come on, did He know? Was it fixed? Could He have done anything else but that? What was the determining factor of all of this? Was there something independent in God's mind, an independent will, that He knew beforehand what the independent will would do? Or did He alone, independently, determine all things? Come on. What's the Scripture say? The Scripture says that He determines all things. Romans 11:36 again. Please say it with me. Romans, come on. 11:36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. God alone is the determining factor. Did God know that Cyrus would be the one to tell the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem? Did God know this? Did God know it? In 538 B.C., Daniel came to Cyrus, Daniel Bible, came to Cyrus, and he showed Cyrus in the book of Isaiah. They didn't have the book chapter verses back then, but we know where it is. Isaiah 44:28, the one verse I told you to look at, right? And Isaiah 44:28. Let's look at it right now. Isaiah 44. Everybody see it? Isaiah 44:28. It's in your notes. Page 6. It's in page 6. What I showed you earlier, near the bottom of the page. Isaiah 44:28. Everybody see it? Page 6 in your notes. Please raise your hand if you got it. Isaiah 44:28. What's it say? Look at this. Who says of Cyrus? Cyrus was king of what? Persia. Please say, who is Cyrus? King of Persia. Watch. Cyrus, a little history lesson. Cyrus, king of Persia. Now watch. Who says of Cyrus, he is what? My shepherd. Now, when did God know that? Come on, when did God know it? Did God look at the counterfactuals, you know, the counter things? Well, Cyrus could choose not to be my shepherd. I got to create this world where he will be my shepherd. And so he will respond. There's a lot of worlds. I mean, there's just infinite number of worlds. It's a big computer he's got there. He runs it all. And they say, you know, we couldn't do that. But since God's just infinite, his intelligence, he runs all those possibilities. He's in the best world. It's the best world based on the creature. He gets it's the best. The best he can do. Not perfect. That's the best he can do. Based on you. Best he can do. What's this all called, what I'm doing? Satire. Say, what's it called? Satire. It's called reductio ad absurdum. Please say it with me. Reductio ad absurdum. If you can reduce a person's system of thought to the absurd, you invalidate the whole argument. We attack them at their what? Polemics. At their premises. What's your premise? Your premise, the whole thing, stands or falls on free will. You'll do anything to hold it and defend it and protect it. You love it more than you love the will of God. Amen? Let me tell you something. The reason I get so exercised over this, please don't miss this. Some people look at me and they think, you know, why is he getting so excited? Can I tell you something? Watch this. Ready? Listen, don't miss this. I'm dead serious. Ready? And this is as serious as somebody were to walk in this room and try to kill us, and I would go there, and my goal is to kill the bad guy instantly. I'm that serious right now. Ready? Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All of the truth. The whole Word of God. These people that teach a contrary doctrine to who God is, in His omniscience, in His sovereignty, they're contributing to the loss of freedom. They've already lost their freedom in their own mind. They're blind. They're not free. They're a slave to Satan. Because what are they? What's their logic and their theology? What's their premise? The free will of man. What's the premise? The premise. The basis of the whole theological system. It's a house of cards. And what's it based on? Say it with me. Free will. If there's free will, they're either what? Middle knowledge, process theology, or open theology. Which one are you? Which form of blasphemy have you taken? You're one of the three. Process theology, open, or middle knowledge. Watch this. This is so serious to maintain what? Ready? Freedom. They're no different than Deepak Chopra. Dr. Deepak Chopra has a book out called The Third Jesus. And he wants to introduce us to Jesus. He's a blasphemer. He says the first Jesus was historical, but you know, who really knows who that was? The second Jesus was all these myths that people came up with in different religions. The third Jesus shows you how you can become your own God also, like he did. He's an avatar. He shows people the way how to become their own God. Can anyone say Luciferian? Can anyone say the same old stuff that Satan was peddling in the Garden of Eden? Amen? Same stuff. What's the goal? If he can get you into believing free will, guess what's happened? You're your own God. You're your own God. You're free from whom? God. That's the whole purpose, to become free from God. You're free, all right. Free from God. No authority. Pardon? Free to worship Satan. Well said. Free to worship Satan. Now watch this. Let's go back to Cyrus. Ready? Cyrus, king of where? Persia. East of what? Babylon. Okay? Persia. Where's Persia? Say it with me. East. Come on. What is it? It's east of Babylon. Watch. This prophecy was made. Isaiah. God gave this to Isaiah in 44:28 in 678 B.C. Say it with me. When was it? 678 B.C. All right. Now, when did this knowledge come to God? Please tell me. When did God acquire this knowledge? Please say it with me. It's not permissible to use the word acquire. It's not permissible when you're dealing with an omniscient sovereign being to say he looked down at his cards of time. There's nothing independent of him. Nothing acts upon. There's no time. There's no space. It's ex nihilo. Means out of nothing, into nothing. There's nothing. When an author writes his book, does the people in his book influence him? How does he know about the people? They're in his mind. Did he learn about the characters in the book? Come on, please tell me. There's nothing. Please tell me. Come on. There's nothing. Do the correct characters create their own wills? Do they create their own parts? Do they create their own personalities? Do they create their own choices? Do they create their own words? Their own lives? Who they'll marry? The author does what? Say it with me. Creates it all for them. It's what? Handed to them. Amen? By the will of one will of the playwright. Amen? The author. Cyrus. When was this prophecy given to Isaiah? Say it with me. 678 B.C. Guess what? Ready? 140 years before it ever came true. Before it ever came past. Let me say true is not a good word because it's already truth in God's mind, right? It's truth. What does truth mean? Known. Say it with me. Known. It's knowledge of the truth. A definition of knowledge is knowledge of the what? Truth. Say it with me. What's the definition of knowledge? Say it with me. Knowledge of the what? Truth. It's truth. What God knows. It's truth. It's truth. Not false. God holds no false belief. That which is false is not known, cannot be known. If it's not true, it's not known. It's not knowledge. Does that make sense? Say it with me. That which is false is what? Not, it's not an object of knowledge. It's not anything to be known because it's false. It's not true. Not eternal. Never began. All right. Cyrus. Isaiah 44:28. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd? Who's saying this? The Father. Who's what? The eternal decreer. He's the one that's predetermined. He created Cyrus. For this very purpose, he ordained him. It's infallible. There's no way that Cyrus could not do what God ordained for him to do. He was created for that purpose. Are you with me? Watch. And he might do some of the things I'd like him to do, some of those counterfactuals I'm working around. Doesn't say that. Please read with me. What's it say out loud? And he shall what? Perform? Say it with me out loud. Oh. Say it with me again. Come on. All my pleasure. Why? Because God's sovereign. God's ordained it. It can only go one way. Watch. Cyrus, this whole world is not the best possible world. As the middle knowledge people, as the Jesuits taught, as they put in middle knowledge to destroy the sovereignty of God, destroy the omniscience of God, it's an attack upon the nature of God. It's blasphemous. It can't be anymore. It's satanic. And once you get into that, the mind shuts down. The mind's blackened. Lies. It begins to replicate itself through the whole mind, so the whole mind shuts down. Pardon? Yes, it does. Plays on his pride. Plays on his. It's the sound of the sirens calling him out. To love this, to love it. Oh, it sounds so good. It's very appealing. I was in this camp for years and years. I taught against this, right, John Kyer? Taught against this stuff. Look at this. I will do all my pleasure. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall what? Be built. Who's going to say this to Jerusalem? Cyrus. This is 140 years before it ever happened. Didn't happen until 538 B.C. 140 years. Who's making sure that Cyrus is going to be born? Come on, tell me. God. Could he have been aborted? Because mother said, this little Cyrus is such a little booger, I'm going to drown him tonight. I hate this little kid. He's never obedient. I'm going to tell my husband he slipped in the pool and just hit his little head. And I know he's just 8 months old. I know he shouldn't have been swimming, but I was trying to help him get swimming real quick. Could his mother have killed him? Come on. Could anyone have killed him? Couldn't have committed suicide. But God had to go through all those rules. That's counterfactual. Counterfacts, right? He could commit suicide. Now he could commit suicide. Well, what world would that? He could do all these decisions. I got all these decisions, and I got to make a world before I go into my free knowledge. I got my natural knowledge, and I see Cyrus and all the things he can do. And then I got my free knowledge. But before I get my free knowledge, I got to look at the creature. Then run it. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Okay. Oh, got to get close. This one's okay. I'll do it. Yeah, I got it. Came to it. Came to me. God! Wicked! Please say with me, wicked. Wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. That's putting the cookies on the bottom shelf of steady and steady and steady and steady and look at all this stuff. To put it down here for people to really get the meaning of all this, because you need to get it on the simplest level and you need to reduce it to the absurd. Amen? What's he say? Continue. Look at this. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation, what? Shall be laid. Is there a possibility that could not have happened? That Ezra, that Cyrus would not build that. Guess what happened? Daniel. Turn with me to Ezra 1. Guess what happened? Daniel, in the Bible, Daniel, guess what he did? Daniel? Really? 538, Daniel comes to Cyrus. Ready? King of Persia. Ready? Where's Daniel? He's in Babylon. Right? Come on, where's Daniel? Where is he? Okay, he was captured and taken to Babylon. Then Jeremiah 25 said that there will be 70 years of what? Say it with me. Captivity. That here, Jerusalem will be here 70 years. Now watch this. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, goes to King Cyrus, and guess what he shows him? Isaiah 44:28. And he says, King Cyrus, I want to show you that your name is written in the Bible. wait a minute. My name, Cyrus, King Cyrus, in fact, it's written 140 years before your life here. And guess what it says? My God says you're his shepherd and you're going to build Jerusalem. And guess what side? Josephus, the historian Josephus, said this in his history during the time of Christ there that Josephus was writing. Look it up, Josephus' history. Josephus said that when Daniel showed this to King Cyrus of Persia, he looked at it and guess what he said? I'm going to do everything in my power to see that this is fulfilled. Isn't it interesting that Proverbs 21:1 says the king's heart mind is in the hand of God. As the rivers of the waters turn, he turns it wherever he wills, the mind of the king. What did he do when he saw it? Could he have chosen not to build the city? How could he think those thoughts? What was superintending upon his mind when he thought those thoughts? Is everybody with me? Let's read. Ezra 1, verse 1. Is everybody there? Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. This was Jeremiah 25, by the way. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus the king. Give me an oof. Ooh. Ready? Watch this. Watch. Stirred up. In the Hebrew, this verb, there's seven verb forms. What form do you think that's in? Because you've heard me say this. Hefel. Say it with me. Hefel Stem. You know what that means? God is the cause of the man's mind being captivated. And it means the only cause. That means that Cyrus has nothing to do with his heart. This is outside of his will, his mind, his choice. It had nothing to do with Cyrus, but everything to do with the sovereign will of God. Now watch the stop. Ready? What I said, either true or not true. Please say yes. Come on. Right? When you have two competing systems of thought, free will and sovereignty of God, ready? When you have two competing systems of thought, they're mutually exclusive. One can be right. One can be wrong. Both could be false. However, since they are mutually exclusive and contradictory, they both cannot be true. Who agrees? What I'm saying about free will, how it's from the pits of hell, it's blatant blasphemy. Not one verse in the Bible teaches free will. Not one teaches free will. What I'm saying, and that the Bible teaches absolute sovereignty of God, but at the same time, the man's responsible for all of his sins. They both cannot be true. Who agrees? But the Bible says what? God is sovereign. Let's read it. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, Ezra 1:1, king, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be what? Say this what? Fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. Why? Because it's truth. It's truth. It's eternal truth. There's no way this could have not happened. This had nothing to do with the creatures. Watch. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus of Persia so that he would what? Made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put in writing saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth of the Lord God of heaven has what? Say it. He's acknowledging that God gave it to him. And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May his God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the man of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the free will offering. You say, oh, there it is. Free will offering just means that it's not freedom that is independent. It means that's just the man's choice. You make a choice to do this. But those choices are already predetermined. People, when they see the word free will, they think, well, the Bible talks about free will. But you have to understand the context in which the Bible is saying the term. Does that make sense to anyone? It's not saying independent, autonomous offering from out God determining everything. It means it's a choice and what? We make choices. The free will offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Now, turn to this paper that I've got for you. Definitions of free will and choice. Everybody have that? Definitions of free will and choice. Does everybody have that? If you don't have it, please raise your hand. Okay, let's continue to read. Okay, now watch this. This is of John Collier. How important is this to get these definitions down?
Yeah, you can't unlock the scripture if you don't understand those definitions.
Say it one more time, so I won't get this on tape. Everybody listen to this.
Yeah, you can't unlock the definition and the consistency of the scriptures unless you understand these definitions.
No way, right?
It's
confused, right?
Yeah, total confusion.
Total confusion.
Definition of author.
Right. Yes. 7 minutes. Ready? Definitions of free will and choice. Free will means that there is no determining factor operating on the will, not even God. Free will means that either of two incompatible actions are equally possible. Watch. Incompatible action. This is totally incompatible. I come to a crossroad, and I'm free to go what? Either way. I don't even know which way I'm going to go. God doesn't know. No one knows. Watch this. This comes from Gordon Clark, God and Evil, page 41. Now here's on page 15. The first is that the Bible does not teach the equal possibility of two incompatible choices. Even if some perverse misinterpreter should still contend that the ability to do good or evil is one, the meaning of the denial is plain and unambiguous. Watch this. King Abimelech had no independent willpower to maintain his integrity or to keep himself from sinning against God. Anybody say you agree with that? King Abimelech could not say, I'm not going to sin against Sarah. He couldn't say that. He had, when he heard about Sarah, when Abraham came to King Abimelech, Abraham told King Abimelech that Sarah was his what? Say it. Sister. It's my sister. So he thought he could take her in, be one of the harems, because she's not married, right? So I'm not taking another man's wife at all, right? Because he was deceived. Watch. The self-determined will of God alone was the independent force that caused King Abimelech to be obedient to God. King Abimelech did not have, say it with me out loud, free, independent, and autonomous will, because free will does not exist. It's a lie from the blasphemous mind of Satan. If you believe in the free, independent, and autonomous will of man, then you are a what? Blasphemer like Satan. Genesis 20, verse 6. And God said to him, that's Abimelech, in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. His integrity, what does integrity come from? Say it with me. The will of God alone. Amen? How is he not able to sin? The will of God alone. Only God's will. Withheld. I also withheld. Could he have sinned against God? Could he have? So if God did not want a world where people sin, could he create a world like that? Of course he could. Right? He's not looking at his card as a time and seeing what you're going to do and then work around and create the best world. So, you know, I got the best world I put together, the least people in hell I could do. This is the best I could do. This is the least I could do. All right? Go down to the bottom of the page. Let's look at choice. Choice is a mental act that consciously initiates and determines a further action. The ability to have chosen otherwise is an irrelevant matter and has no place in the definition. Such an ability could only be argued from the Atma definition has been made. We cannot permit the Arminians to settle the whole matter simply by selecting a definition. A choice is a, say with me, deliberate volition or will, even if it could not have been different. That's your choice. That is your choice. But it's the choice that's been handed to you. And author, what does author mean, John?
Perpetrator. Accomplisher. Person who actually performs it.
So God does not perform the sin.
Doesn't perform the sin.
Everybody hear that?
Doesn't commit the sin.
Does not commit the sin.
Doesn't perpetrate the sin. Doesn't do the sin.
He does not do the sin. God does not sin. God cannot sin. He decrees sin. He doesn't do sin. Right? Pick up your next paper. All theology rests on the philosophy of the will of God and the will of man, determinism and indeterminism. Okay.